Hello everyone, and welcome to JTalk Extra Time. I'm James Taylor, and in part one of this brief episode, I'll be reviewing five of the J2 Round 9 games from Wednesday night. Then in part two, John Steele has the rest of the midweek games and a quick preview of Sunday's games. Let's get stuck in then, starting with a big game at the bottom of the table. Tochigi SC against Montedio Yamagata, 19th versus 20th. Tochigi went in front in the 9th minute through Ryo Nemoto, who ran onto what turned out to be an inadvertently perfect through ball from an opponent, waited for Yamagata goalie Masaaki Goto and defender Keita Yoshioka to commit themselves and scored. Yamagata's De La Torre and Tochigi's Kojiro Yasuda both forced good saves when it was 1-0 at the break. 2 minutes into the second half, a corner came through to De La Torre at the back post, but his shot was cleared off the line by a defender. Then, in the 54th minute, Nemoto doubled the lead. Tochigi passed the ball around in midfield, looking for an opening. Hayato Fukushima found some space on the right and threaded a long, low pass into the area, where Nemoto escaped the attentions of the defence and stretched to score. The defenders wanted an offside call, and I think they may have had a case. It seems a lot of those close decisions are going against Yamagata these days. They pulled one back in the 74th minute, when Wataru Tanaka showed an impressive burst of pace to run through the defence and rifle a shot past Shuhei Kawata. Tochigi had thrown away late leads in their last two games, and they had some nervy moments in this one too. Tanaka shot just wide and over, and De La Torre failed to connect well enough with a close range effort, so Tochigi held on for a 2-1 win that sees them move up one place to 18th, while condemning Yamagata to their 7th consecutive defeat. Tochigi leapfrogged Iwaki FC, who went down 3-0 away to a Zwegen Kanazawa team that was entirely different to the 11 who played on Sunday. Goalkeeper Kojiro Nakano made his debut for the club, and there were first starts of the season for defender Kengo Kuroki, midfielders Shogo Rikiasu and Yuhei Oishi, and strikers Yohei Toyoda and Kyohei Sugiura. The first chance of the match fell to Rikiasu, whose shot from the edge of the area was tipped over by Toru Takagiwa in the 4th minute. 2 minutes later, the home side were ahead through Kyohei Sugiura. A deep cross from Masaya Kojima landed perfectly on Sugiura's head, and he was unencumbered by defenders who'd been dragged away by Toyoda's clever off-the-ball movement. Sugiura made it 2-0 in the 14th minute, another long ball from Kojima, this time expertly brought down by Oishi in the area and centred for Sugiura to score with his right foot from 6 yards. Iwaki created a good chance in the 23rd minute when Kaina Tanimura and Sota Nagai teed the latter up for a left-footed shot that Nakano turned around the post. And a few minutes later, Tanimura saw a shot from 18 yards comfortably tipped over the bar. Kanazawa got their third in the 37th minute when Kojima and Oishi again combined well down the right, and Oishi backheeled to set up Sugiura for a left-footed shot that he placed perfectly just inside the right-hand post. A 37-minute perfect hat-trick, the first hat-trick of Sugiura's career, the first by anyone for Kanazawa since an Emperor's Cup match in 2014. In the second half, Tanimura had a few shots that he sent well wide, and Naoki Kase hit the post, but Nakano was largely unbothered, and Iwaki played the last 20 minutes with 10 men, after half-time substitute Ryo Sugiyama received 2 yellow cards. Kanazawa make it 4 wins from 5, and 2 clean sheets in 3. They move up a couple of places to 13th. Two of the division's big hitters in Shimizu S-Pulse and Vegalta Sendai met at Nihon Daira, with both looking to build on victories last weekend. Takashi Inui went close for S-Pulse in the 23rd minute. His direct free kick hit the inside of the post and bounced away. Shimizu keeper Shuichi Gonda saved from Motohiko Nakajima in the 37th minute, and Shimizu scored right before half-time. A low pass from Yutaka Yoshida found Yohei Shiraitaki 6 yards out, and he turned and slotted in his first league goal of the season. Shimizu pushed for a second, but Akira Silvano Dizaro shot wide, and Sendai keeper Akihiro Hayashi saved well from Ronaldo and Thiago Santana. And it was Sendai who got the game's second goal in the 78th minute. An interception on the left wing by Hiroto Yamada, and a low cross from him for Yuta Goke to score. It finished 1-1, Shimizu's 6th draw, leaving them in 17th. Sendai have 3 wins, 3 draws and 3 losses and sit in 11th. 5th played 7th at the NAC 5 Stadium as visitors Zaspa Ksats Gumma ended Omiya Ardija's perfect home record with a 1-0 win. In the first half, Omiya's Takamitsu Tomiyama missed the target and a Masato Kojima shot was saved by Masatoshi Kushibiki. The goal came immediately after the break, Shu Hiramatsu bringing down a long pass and holding off Niki Urakami to gently roll the ball past the keeper. Kushibiki made a fine fingertip save late on, but there were not many shots on target in this one. Omiya dropped to 14th, such is the congested nature of the table at the moment, and Gunma rise one place to 4th. Gunma are nestled between Tokyo Verdy and Blaublitz Akita, who faced each other at the Ajinomoto Stadium. Verdy were without Ryota Kajikawa and will be for the next 8 months or so, as he sustained an ACL injury in Saturday's loss to Shimizu. They did give a club debut to ex-Akita defender Kaito Chida. The main action came in the second half of this one. Akita's Shion Niwa forced a save from Matthias, and Birdie's Yuto Tsunashima opened the scoring in the 51st minute, finishing from close range after a cross was headed down for him. And, amazingly, Birdie scored a second in the 64th minute when a corner came to Naoki Hayashi, who controlled it with his chest before shooting through a crowd for his second goal in two games. I say amazingly, not to disparage Verdy's attack, but to highlight that this was the first time Akita have conceded more than one goal in a game this season. A two-goal difference proved to be too much for Blaublitz's anemic attack, though. Although defender Ryotaro Iyo pulled one back in the 89th minute, a corner flicked on at the near post for him to volley in from a few yards out. Final score, Tokyo Verdy 2, Blaublitz Akita 1. The first Akita game this season to feature more than two goals. Right, that's all from me, and after a short break, you'll hear John's roundup of the remaining games from Matchday 9.
Thanks for that, James. Hi everyone, John Steele here to round up the rest of the Wednesday night action from J2. And at the Resonac Dome, it finished Oita Trinita 3, Yamaguchi 1. Oita impressive yet again, move into top position in the league table. It was one-way traffic in the first half here, but it looked as though Yamaguchi were going to make it to half-time on level terms. But then in the 44th minute, Oita went in front from an excellent free kick. They won their chance out wide on the left, about 25 yards from the Yamaguchi goal, and they lined up for a direct shot, including putting two of their players right in front of the Yamaguchi wall. So with everybody expecting a shot, Naoki Nomura sent an inch-perfect cross into the box for Pereira to head in the opening goal. So it was Oita 1, Yamaguchi 0 in the 44th minute. Things got even better for the home side just moments later. Kazuki Fujimoto cleverly rolled his defender in left-hand channel. He was able to outpace the covering Yamaguchi defenders quite easily, and then he made his way into the penalty area and beautifully bent the ball around the goalkeeper Yoshimitsu to make it 2-0. Midway through the second half, Yamaguchi did manage to pull a goal back. Georgi Ikegami, unmarked at the far post, volleyed in Keigo Numata's cross from about 6 yards to make it 2-1. But almost straight away, Oita restored their two-goal advantage with a thunderous Nomura shot from the edge of the penalty area. It was close to the goalkeeper Yoshimitsu. He was able to get a hand on it, but he couldn't keep it out. The ball ended up going into the back of the net for 3-1, and that was game over. Oita nearly added a fourth goal late on, Yoshimitsu brilliantly tipping an effort from Keita Takahata onto the crossbar, but it finished Oita 3, Yamaguchi 1. Oita have 7 wins from their 9 matches so far this season. Incredible stuff from them. They're 2 points clear at the top of the table, and as we seem to mention on a weekly basis, Naoki Nomura is just in the form of his life at the moment. Another fantastic performance from him. The previous leaders, Machida Zelvia, are down to second place now after they drop points for the second game in a row, this time in quite a bad-tempered 1-1 draw away at Iwata. Machida started the game strongly, and they went in front in just the 11th minute here. A long goal kick was collected by Eric, and he spun to face the Iwata goal and played in Yu Hirakawa on the left-hand side of the penalty area. Hirakawa was able to fire a low shot through the goalkeeper's legs to make it 1-0. Shortly after that, Hirakawa should really have made it 2-0, but he flashed a free header wide of the post from a Daigo Takahashi cross. At the other end, Yasuhito Endo put in a shot from the edge of the box that was deflected onto the base of the post and then cleared away, and Machida escaped. Iwata did pull level though in first half stoppage time. Out wide on the Iwata right, Yuto Suzuki played a 1-2 with Dudu, burst into the penalty area and then cut the ball back for Shota Kaneko to sweep in from about 10 yards to make it 1-1. So it was all square at half time. Tempers frayed quite quickly in the second half, and the big flashpoint was in about the 82nd minute. Iwata substitute striker Keisuke Goto had a shot cleared off the line for a corner by Hijiri Onaga, and then behind the goal, Machida centre-back Yudai Fujiwara making his first start of the season. He clashed with Hiroki Yamada as Yamada tried to get the ball back quickly to take the corner. Now, Yamada pushed Fujiwara away from the ball initially, sort of medium strength, I suppose you'd say. Fujiwara just lost his cool completely, seemed to shove Yamada back as hard as he could. This game had been kind of bubbling and simmering away before that, but this was the cue for a kind of mass outbreak of pushing and shoving, what used to be called handbags when I was growing up in the UK. But yeah, everybody got involved, everybody had something to say, and it took a few minutes for things to calm down. The net result was a straight red card for Fujiwara, I think for violent conduct. So Machida were down to 10 men for the last 8 minutes. And there was one more dramatic moment in the Machida penalty area late on, as Onaga body-checked Iwata's Kotaro Fujikawa as he ran onto a through ball. No penalty was given, but that was incredibly a ballsy tackle to put in on a striker, you know, in heading into stoppage time. So yeah, I'm not really sure why a penalty wasn't given. Perhaps the referee thought it was shoulder to shoulder, but Machida a bit lucky to escape with that decision, I think. But in the end, it finished Iwata 1, Machida 1. So yes, as mentioned, Machida are 2 points behind the leaders Oita now with 20. Iwata are the top scorers in the division. They have 16 goals scored after 9 matches, but they're only 9th in the table. Switching to the bottom of the table now, it finished Fujieda 3, Jeff Chiba 1. On Wednesday night, this was a rampant attacking display from Fujieda, but on this evidence, Jeff looked to be in big trouble. In the 10th minute, Fujieda went ahead thanks to a beautiful curling strike from the edge of the penalty area from Akiyuki Yokoyama. The former Tokyo Verde youth player was on sparkling form in this game, and we'll talk more about him in a moment. It was 2-0 to Fujieda in the 40th minute when Jeff just couldn't deal with a simple long ball over the top of their back line. Centre-back Iki Arai dangled his leg at the ball, but it just ran through for Ryo Watanabe to easily place the ball into the back of the net. So 2-0 to Fujieda after 40 minutes, and it was nearly 3-0 before the break. Yokoyama hit the crossbar with an almost identical shot to the one that he'd scored earlier. But yeah, the ball hit the top of the crossbar and Jeff escaped. It was only a temporary let-off though, because in the 57th minute, Watanabe helped himself to his second goal of the game, and Fujieda's third. He easily peeled away from his marker, in inverted commas, the experienced but ball-watching Daisuke Suzuki, advanced into the penalty area with no problem, and easily beat the goalkeeper, Shota Arai, to score his 7th goal of the season. Watanabe, the top scorer in J2 at the moment. In the closing stages, both sides hit the woodwork. The tireless Yokoyama hit the base of the Jeff post with a close-range header, while at the other end, Naoki Tsubaki fired a long-range effort against a Fujieda post. And Jeff were able to grab an injury-time consolation goal when Suzuki headed in Taishi Taguchi's corner. That was right at the end of the 92nd minute. But it was 3-1 to Fujieda at full time, and this was an awful performance from Jeff overall. Pretty desperate stuff. Fujieda are up into 8th place now, and they're certainly one of the most entertaining teams in the division so far this season. 14 goals scored and 14 conceded after 9 rounds. Jeff, well, they haven't won since the opening day, and not surprisingly, with a record like that, they're in the relegation zone, just 1 point ahead of the bottom place side. Now, the bottom place side is still Tokushima Vortis, and they still haven't managed a win yet in 2023. On Wednesday night, they lost 2-0 at home to Mito Hollyhock. As is customary for Tokushima, they had possession, they had chances in the first half, but they couldn't take any of them, and they were punished for that just before the hour mark, when a right-wing cross from Koki Gotoda was deflected perfectly into the path of Shoji Toyama to tuck the ball past the Tokushima keeper Hayate Tanaka. So Mito 1-0 up on the hour mark, and about 10 minutes later, they scored a second goal that was an absolute cracker from Hidetoshi Takeda. It's difficult to describe this goal, so I don't think I can do it justice, but from the edge of the box, Takeda brilliantly hooked a bouncing ball into Tanaka's top left-hand corner. A fantastic technique, and it looked like a kind of impossible finish, but Takeda managed it. Well worthy of being a match-winning goal, and it's worth checking out on YouTube if you can find it. So the final score in this game was Tokushima 0, Mito 2. Mito move up the table slightly to 16th, whereas Tokushima, yes, still rooted to the foot of the table. And yeah, we're starting to wonder how much longer they're going to stick with their young Spanish manager, Bernat Labayen, after such a kind of disappointing start. At the City Light Stadium, it finished Okayama 0, Kumamoto 0. No goals in this game, but both sides had their chances. In the first half, Okayama centre-back Yasutaka Yanagi headed just wide of the far post on a set piece. And then in the second half, for Okayama, Yosuke Kawai put in a fierce dipping shot from about 20 yards that hit the Kumamoto crossbar and bounced down, but crucially in front of the goal line. Yeah, luckily we didn't have the same match officials from the Machida versus Hakita game last weekend, and the referee and linesman were able to correctly spot that the ball hadn't gone in. So no goal was awarded. Meanwhile, at the other end, Shohei Aihara missed an absolute close-range sitter for Kumamoto with about 12 minutes left, so they might feel that they should have had the win in the end. But it finished Okayama 0, Kumamoto 0. For Okayama, that's 6 draws from their 9 matches this season, and their 4th draw in a row, a sort of nouveau Tokushima developing there. They're in 10th place in the table, and at close by a Kumamoto, they're in 12th. Their record after 9 games is 3 wins, 3 draws, and 3 losses. Finally, on Wednesday night, at the Transcosmos Stadium, there were a couple of controversial moments as Nagasaki came from behind to beat their visitors Kofu 2-1. Now, in the 20th minute, Kofu's Koya Hayashida challenged Yohei Otake as Nagasaki were building an attack in their own half. Nagasaki seemed to be expecting a free kick for a foul here, but nothing was given by the referee. Hayashida took possession and fed Kazushi Mitsuhira, advanced into the penalty area, and then comfortably beat Go Hatano in the Nagasaki goal to make it 1-0 to Kofu. It wasn't until the 68th minute that Nagasaki pulled level. A long throw from Asahi Masayama was only cleared to the edge of the Kofu box, where Masaru Kato swept in a nice volley right into the bottom right-hand corner of the net. So 1-1 midway through the second half. After that, the Brazilian winger Clayson nearly put Nagasaki in front with a shot that was cleared by a defender from almost on the goal line. But Nagasaki did win the match with a penalty in the 82nd minute. Kofu midfielder Nagi Matsumoto chested the ball down inside his own penalty area, but the referee awarded a penalty for handball. I've watched multiple replays of this incident, and it's very difficult to tell whether the ball hit Matsumoto's hand or not, but the penalty was given, and Edgar Junior stepped up and emphatically dispatched it right into the roof of the net for his first goal of the season, and that handed Nagasaki the comeback win. So I think Nagasaki felt hard done to on the first goal. Kofu felt very hard done to on the penalty for Nagasaki's winner, but it finished Nagasaki 2, Kofu 1. That was Nagasaki's 4th win in the last 5 matches, and it puts them up into 6th place in the table. With Kofu in 7th, although that's back-to-back defeats for them now, they're also an entertaining side so far this season, with 13 goals scored and 13 conceded after 9 matches. Okay, I think James and I did a reasonable job of rounding up a busy midweek round. So without further ado, let's look ahead to the next round, round 10 in J2. All of the games are coming up on Sunday, April the 16th this week. There's one game at 1 p.m. where Kofu welcome Tochigi to the JIT Recycle Inc. Stadium. That's 7th place hosting 18th. Most of the action in round 10 takes place at 2 p.m. on Sunday. There are 8 matches, including Sendai hosting Okayama at the Yurtec Stadium, and 5th-placed Akita at home to Omiya. Remember, Omiya have lost all 4 of their away games so far, and Akita is quite a difficult ground to go to, isn't it? Yamagata are on that dreadful run of 7 straight defeats. They host Inform Kanazawa at the ND Soft Stadium. Remember, Kanazawa have 4 wins in their last 5. While the surprise package in 4th place in the table, Gunma, are on the road at struggling Iwaki in 19th after 9 matches. Elsewhere, third place Tokyo Verde go to second bottom and in pretty rotten form Jeff Chiba. And I think it's the game of the season so far, coming up at Nozita. It's second against first, Machida's Elvia hosting Oita Trinita. I think most neutrals will have at least one eye on that game on Sunday afternoon. In other games at 2 p.m. on Sunday, Shimizu will go in search of their second win of the season away at Yamaguchi, and the bottom side Tokushima have another chance at home to try and get their first 3 points of the campaign at Pocari Sweat Stadium. It's in form Nagasaki, with 4 wins from their last 5, who are going to be the visitors. Then there are a couple of games later on in the day. At 3 p.m. it's Mito against Fujieda at Keiji Denki Stadium. That's 16th place hosting 8th. And then the last game on the round 10 slate is at 4 p.m. When Iwata welcome Kumamoto to Yamaha. That's 9th place hosting 12th place. So plenty to look forward to in round 10, especially that big Machida versus Oita clash at Nozita. And just time to mention as well, next midweek, Iwata and Shimizu will be in Levan Cup action. The group stage has reached match day 4 in the League Cup. So on Wednesday, April the 19th, with 2 games at 7 p.m, we have Iwata hosting Yokohama Marinos, and Shimizu travel to Todoroki. They'll be away at Kawasaki Frontale on Wednesday night in the Levan Cup. But as usual, next week, JTET will be back. And James and I, and possibly some other guests as well, will have all the J2 kind of latest from round 10. And yes, Magic Mike Innes will be on hand. He'll have all the J3 news in the J-Talk short corner segment, as usual, as well. But I think that's all for this kind of midweek special. So thanks for listening and downloading our pod, the JTET pod, and the Big J-Talk podcast as well. Thanks for supporting us on Patreon if you do that too. And yeah, enjoy your football this weekend. We'll be back next week. Bye for now.